I'm happy to welcome to our pulpit Brother Tony. He's no stranger to the pulpit.
Well, it's good to be back once again here. I do have elderly parents, and they live in Toronto, so we paid them a visit today, and we did have some lunch with them, and you can certainly pray for them, my mother and father. They're from, Italian background, came here in the 1954. Deffenbaker was actually the prime minister. I don't know if you know the history of Canada, but he was one of the prime ministers. And my dad's an odd person because he still can't speak English. And that's something to think about, because how can he not speak English? Well, he's been working with Italian people all his life, and the bank manager was Italian, and the grocery clerk was Italian. Everybody was Italian in the neighborhood, and so he's not going to learn any English. And so I still have to speak Italian to him, because otherwise he won't understand. But anyhow, it's good to see them, and you can certainly pray for them, pray for their salvation. Sometimes it seems they're getting a little bit closer. My mother is Catholic, and she does go to the Catholic Church periodically, but she has enough knowledge there to know the way of God's salvation. And so all it takes is the Lord just to speak that word, and then it will be all accomplished. And my mother and father, they argue a lot, and you know, when they argue, sometimes I walk in, I see them arguing, everything is well, and I just walk right back out again, away I go. When there one is in one corner, another one's in another corner, well, you got to figure out what the problem is. And so sometimes it takes a little bit of time to figure out what the problem is. And some of those problems, well, they're not really problems, but, well, things like, well, you know what your dad did today? Because I really don't want to know what he did. Well, he went up a ladder, and we all know what happened with the sister yesterday with the ladder. And so these are things that take place, and so these are things, you see, they people, elderly people, don't just quite get it, that ladders are a no-no, especially when you're that age of 89. But it's good to be back here, and it's good to see some of these faces. It's good to see all of you, of course, but some of the faces that I haven't seen in a while, and that's always good. This evening, we're going to turn to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs, and if you ever want to be a wise person, well, you read the book of Proverbs several times during the year, and, well, you will be a very wise person when it comes to the things of the world and also the things of God. And that is why the Lord gave us the book of Proverbs. The wisest man that ever lived wrote this book, and certainly we could learn many things. So we're turning to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. The book of Proverbs, chapter 19. It reads there, verse number 1, "Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Also, that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteneth with his feet sinneth. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. All the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. He that getteth wisdom loveth his own soul. He that keepeth understanding shall find good. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. Delight is not seemingly for a fool, much less for a servant to have rule over princes. The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. The king's wrath is as the roaring of a lion, but his favor is as dew upon the grass. A foolish son is a calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. He that keepeth the commandments keepeth his own soul, but he that despiseth his ways shall die. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom, and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. He that wasteth his father and chasteneth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge. An ungodly witness scorneth judgment, and the mouth of the wicked devoureth iniquity. Judgments are prepared for scorners, and stripes for the back of fools. And we know that God will add his blessing to his own infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. Just for a few moments, let us ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious Father in heaven, we do humble ourselves under thy mighty hand, acknowledging that thou art God. We do come humbly because we know who is sufficient for these things. And our Father, we do recognize that we cannot do anything apart from thee coming this evening and giving help. Our Father, we thank thee that thou must give help in the pulpit, and thou must give help also to thy people to hear the very words of wisdom, and especially, our Father, the words that are in thy book. We thank thee that it is God's word, and we thank thee, our Father, that the knowledge of this book will lead us into everlasting life. We do thank thee that thou hast not hid these things from us, but thou hast revealed them to us. And our Father, we pray that we would truly profit from thy word, and that we would be a people that would truly appreciate even thy word. Granted, we pray, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a phrase there in verse number two, and it says there, a very interesting verse, the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. The soul be without knowledge, it is not good. Ignorance in respect to the things of this world brings a person under great disadvantage. This is a world of great competitiveness, and if you're ignorant in this world, especially concerning things where you have to get a job and so forth, well, you are certainly in a disadvantage. It disqualifies a person for his situations in life, especially those situations that require the exercise of wisdom and the exercise of discernment. Discretion as well. It degrades him in society, brings him lower than those who otherwise would be his equal. And so ignorance to things pertaining to this world, well, yes, it is not good. It's not good because of the world in which we're living, and especially because, yes, it will lead to bad decisions. Many people have made bad decisions because they're ignorant of certain subjects. However, neither wealth nor political forms of government can give knowledge to a people. They may give them information, technical information in most things, but they could never give that knowledge which has to do with wisdom, which has to do with that wisdom which will guide a person aright in the things of this world. And so I'm sure we could all agree that wisdom and learning, yes, does benefit a person. It does benefit a person, and especially pertaining to the things of this world. In fact, one of the most prized things in this world is knowledge. And people have gone through much pain and time to gain knowledge. People have paid tremendous amounts of money for education. People have had to educate, well, at least I had to do so, educate some of my young ones. And, well, it costs a lot of money to get knowledge. It costs us. Some of you may know that, and so to acquire knowledge, there's also the pain of studying. You have to study to gain knowledge. There is the pain of study. There is much study that you can acquire some type of knowledge. The more you study, of course, the more you know about a subject. And if you really think about it, it is that which, more than anything else that raises a man in public estimation and gives him influence in this world. In other words, if you're sick and you go to a doctor, he's educated in his subject, well, you have a lot of appreciation for that. And you estimate him very highly, and it exalts his character. And it has to do, really, with anybody that has a particular knowledge in some subject. For example, the politicians, they're educated in political science. And then you have, of course, others such as, I mentioned already, doctors educated in medicine. There's the lawyers, they're educated in law. Then there's the engineers, they're educated in applied science. And then there's many others. I didn't mention accountants because my wife is an accountant. But anyways, that's a different thing. And so there's others, of course, in their line of field. And so there are those that have been that are very highly educated, and they're not ignorant concerning their subject. And so there are many acquired great knowledge in regards to their fields. The world has a lot of respect for such people. However, there is a knowledge which is far from being appreciated, far from being appreciated by the world. And that, of course, has to do with spiritual knowledge. Not appreciated. Those that have spiritual knowledge is not appreciated. That which relates to the concerns of the soul, it's not appreciated. The knowledge of God, the knowledge of his ways, this is by far beyond any comparison more important than any other knowledge. And why? Because it brings, you see, eternal life. The Apostle Paul, he counted there in Philippians 3, verse 8, he says that he counted all things as dross and dung compared to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not appreciated today, you see. The best knowledge that you could ever have, a knowledge of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, far better than any other knowledge. To know him is to know, the Bible says, everlasting life. The knowledge of Christ, of course, has to do with the saving knowledge. You had to experience God's salvation, and it is to have the knowledge of Christ as your Savior. And of course, for a man not to have that knowledge, what does the wisest man say in our text? He says, it is not good. It is not good for the soul to be without knowledge. And so this evening, I just want to show you why. Why it is not good for the soul to be without knowledge. And we're talking about spiritual knowledge. That's what Solomon is talking about here. It's not good for the soul to be without spiritual knowledge. So the first thing is that without spiritual knowledge, there's no really direction in life. You're ignorant about the very ways of life. There are many highly educated people. I have nothing against educated people. I've been mentioning them a little bit this evening. Nothing against them. But there are many highly educated people who know not that they're sinners before a holy God. They have not that knowledge. And that's not good. It's not good. Anyone who is ignorant of the gospel knows nothing of a soul which needs saving. He knows nothing concerning the fall of man. He knows nothing concerning creation. He knows nothing against the consequences of the fall. And Solomon says here that that's not good. It's not good for the soul to be without knowledge. It knows not that if they disobey the gospel, that they're going to be banished from the very presence of the Lord. To be, therefore, without spiritual knowledge is a very pitiable state indeed. And also a soul that knows not his need of a mediator. That's not good. Solomon says that's not good for the soul not to know that. He knows nothing of the fountain that was opened for sin upon the cross, and therefore he cannot wash in it. He cannot see it. And he sees not himself as God sees him, as a sinner. That's not good, Solomon says. For the soul to have that, not to have that knowledge. And how sad it is when the intellects of our day don't even know the general gospel that salvation was purchased by the blood and righteousness of God's only begotten Son. Not even the basics. What can we say about the way to please God? Well, if the soul doesn't have that knowledge, it's not good. How do you please God? You take the wisest philosopher of all times. They were blind to the paths of holiness. In fact, they didn't even know where they came from. They knew not what holiness was. They knew not how to please God. They knew not that they have to surrender themselves to God. They have not the knowledge of God as revealed in His Word, and they can only guess. That's not good, Solomon says. It's not good for the soul to be without knowledge. No concept of the faith, of the life of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, without this knowledge, spiritual knowledge, there's no view of Christ. And Solomon says that that is not good. That Christ came down to this earth, the soul not to know that Christ came down to this earth, assumed our nature, and that nature expiated the very guilt of our sin. It's not good. If you don't know of this salvation, well, I have to tell you that it's not good. It's not good for your soul. You may have other knowledges in this world in respect to other subjects, but this subject here, the subject of your soul and having knowledge, well, if you don't have the knowledge of salvation, it's not good. To know the invitation of the gospel, not to know the invitation of the gospel, well, that's not good. It is offered to everyone freely, the Bible says. The whole world is invited to come, and it is of such full salvation that nothing can be added to it. The Bible says it's all of grace from first to last. Solomon says without this knowledge, it's not good. It's not good without this knowledge. It's not good for the soul to be ignorant, in other words, of God's salvation. And we can see that without the divine knowledge, God's promises of eternal life, well, are not really real to the blind man of this world. It's not real to him. He's ignorant to these very things, and he is truly in a lamentable condition because he has no direction. No direction. Solomon says for the soul to be without knowledge, it's not good. But there's other things that we can talk about this evening, and that is that there's no support in time of trouble. No support in time of trouble. Everyone experiences trouble. You don't have to tell me because the Bible tells me that. Every single person experiences troubles of some kind. The Bible says in Job, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. But those who have received the gospel, they have with it many consolations. Many consolations that bear them up above even their very afflictions. And they know from where these afflictions come from. At least they know that God allowed these afflictions, that where they came from and so forth. But they also know that all things work together for good for them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. It's a knowledge, you see, that God's people have. That's a good knowledge for them to have. The believer can see that while the unbeliever say, well, it was a stroke of bad luck. It was a stroke of bad luck. Well, for somebody to fall off a ladder, that's a stroke of bad luck. He's totally ignorant, you see. He's totally ignorant because all he has for his support are the principles of philosophy. And so in his time of trouble, well, being ignorant of the things of God is not going to help him. And Solomon says here, it's not good for the soul to be without knowledge. An unenlightened man, he can only depend upon his own strength. What can he do? He can only go as far as his own strength brings him. And that's not very far. He knows nothing of the true vine, of that vital energy that's derived from the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows nothing of the inward man. The Bible talks about the inward man, strengthened, being strengthened by the Holy Ghost. He knows nothing of that. He cannot mortify sin. He cannot resist the devil. He cannot engage in any spiritual duty. He will utterly fail. He's a stranger to all the mighty workings of God's power, and therefore he cannot rise above sin. He cannot rise above Satan. Solomon says it's not good. It's not good for the soul to be without knowledge. Being ignorant of Christ is to be left to his own resources and instead being able to do all things through Christ. As the Bible tells us, he can do absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's dead to sin and trespasses. Solomon says, that's not good. That's not good. And what makes the unenlightened man more pitiable is that he has no hope at the end. Everybody wants some hope at the end. Even unbelievers want some hope at the end, but they can only guess. They can only guess to what lies beyond the grave for them. You see, he doesn't have that knowledge. Bad in this life and bad in the life to come. There's not one promise. There's not one promise that he could hang on to. Not one. If there was one, well, at least he would have some hope, but there's not even one. The soul to be without knowledge, well, the Bible says, Solomon says, it's not good. Knows nothing of Christ who went before him to prepare a place for him. He simply clings to life as long as he can, and then he perishes under the guilt of sin. Well, some would say he was a great man. Some would say, well, he was a very highly educated man. What does God say? God says in Hosea 4, verse 6, he's destroyed for lack of knowledge. He's destroyed for lack of knowledge. He lives all his life without Christ, and he dies without hope. Solomon says, for the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. The wisest man that ever lived, the soul to be without knowledge is the greatest calamity. The greatest calamity that can befall a man on this side of the grave. There is nothing worse than not knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. The soul, the greatest calamity we can say. And so for the soul to be without knowledge, it's not good. To be ignorant of the gospel is a terrible thing. To have no direction in this life is indeed a very awful place to be in. An awful condition. It's not good. It is true that many have attained much human wisdom, surrounded by much human glory, yet we have examples in Scripture. We have Lazarus, who was eating the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table, and yet because he had that knowledge of God, well, and he knew the ways of God, well, he's spending time now in eternity, much better, of course, than those that had not that knowledge. And how much then we ought to pity those around us that are sitting in darkness and in the shadow of death, trusting in vanities. It's not good for them. It's not good for the soul to be without knowledge. A terrible thing to have no ways of knowing the Lord. Solomon says, for the immortal soul to be without spiritual knowledge is not good. It's a great privilege to have a soul. Maybe you never thought about that. Humans, well, we have souls, you see. Now, of course, you see some of these crimes that are taking place. You have to wonder if a person really has a soul, but everybody has a soul. That soul one day is going to take a direction. That soul one day is going to take an upward direction, or it's going to take a downward direction. God has given us a soul. And that soul, without spiritual knowledge, well, it will take a direction that will go downwards, and Solomon says that it's not good. It's not good for the soul not to have the knowledge of Christ. Now, you're probably wondering, well, how are you ever going to attain this knowledge? This knowledge that Solomon's talking about here, this knowledge that's going to benefit our souls. Remember, we're talking about the soul here. We know how to attain other knowledge in this world. If you're an electrician, well, you have to study the way it works with electrical things. But we're talking here about the knowledge which benefits our souls. Well, how do you attain this divine knowledge? Now, there's no doubt that, yes, we're to search the Scriptures, and I'm sure you've always heard that, to search the Scriptures, and you search the Scriptures, the Bible says, diligently. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, he said in John chapter 5, and verse number 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So there were those that were looking for eternal life, but you had to turn, you see, to the Lord Jesus Christ. You had to find him in the Scriptures. You have to search for the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to, find him in the books of the Bible. And because Christ really is the theme of the Bible, and if you fail to see him, it's not going to benefit you. Well, you may know a little bit about the Bible, but it's not going to benefit your soul, you see. Also, what will not benefit your soul is if you pick up the Bible, you begin searching the scriptures, independence upon your own wisdom. Well, you're not going to give God a chance to interpret the word the way it's supposed to be interpreted. So you come to the Bible and you're looking at your own wisdom. Well, you're not going to succeed. That's not going to give you the knowledge that I'm talking about here. Because the knowledge that I'm talking about here is a knowledge where you're to look up to God. In dependence upon him and having a teachable spirit. Because David said here in Psalm 119 verse 18, he says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Open thou mine eyes." And so it tells me here that, well, you know what? All our studying is not going to do us much unless the Lord opens our eyes. So that's the knowledge I'm talking about. That's the knowledge that Solomon is talking about that's good for the soul. Got to search for Christ as a hidden treasure. And, of course, you have to see him as the only way to heaven. We need to search the scriptures. We need to pray that God would open our eyes to have spiritual discernment and to look to him as the only author of true wisdom. That's the way, you see, you get this spiritual knowledge. There is no other way of attaining this knowledge. It is not just the study of a book. You may study other books and you may get some knowledge, but this book, you see, is a very unique book. You're going to have help. And I'm talking about help from the author of this book, a help from the Lord. Even the disciples that spent 3.5 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, well, they were really not able rightly to understand his word. They weren't really able to understand until the Lord opened the understanding. I'm sure we all read that in the scriptures. Then they were able to understand the scriptures. It didn't depend upon them. The Lord had to open up their understanding. Even Peter's confession of faith, remember his confession of faith? It reads there in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 17. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Peter, it did not come from you. Peter didn't come from your studying. Where did Peter receive this knowledge of the truth? It was not of himself or any reason or from others or any kind of other education or Bible study, but the Father which is in heaven. Can't get more plainer than that. The Father which is in heaven, given by the inspiration of God. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the knowledge I'm talking about this evening. And the soul to have that, not to have that knowledge, well, you read it yourself here. Solomon says that it's not good. It's not good. Every child of man, whether learned or unlearned, must hear and learn from the Father. And of course, I think you may have had here the visit, as I understand, Gerald Ladds. And I know Gerald Ladds because I met him at Tim Hortons. I know he testified here. And here's a man that's illiterate, can't read or write. People took advantage of them. People took their tax money as they did their tax money until, of course, he came to the church. And then my wife began to do his taxes, being ignorant of the things of this world, being taken advantage left, right, and center. Everything that he was supposed to be involved with in this life, even the simple things, couldn't even write his own name. But he had that knowledge. He had the knowledge of God. He had that principle. That principle that even though he was illiterate, he heard and he learned from the Father. He's a saved man, and his wife is a saved person, that is also what Paul prayed for the church. Didn't that Paul pray for the churches? I want you to note here what Paul prayed for the churches in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 17. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. That's what Paul prayed for the church, that God would open their eyes, that God would enlighten them. And so I don't pat people on the back because of any spiritual knowledge that they have. It came from the Lord, you see. Came from the Lord. He's the God of knowledge. And we must look to him as our teacher, and he can certainly open up our understanding. Solomon, well, he asked for wisdom. He wanted wisdom more than anything else. And God gave him a dose of wisdom. And that's why we have these very sayings of Moses, sayings here of Solomon, the wisest man of the world. This is where this very saying came from, the very words of our text. And we all need to look up to the Lord for the inspiration of his spirit, because it's the Lord alone that can give wisdom. And out of his mouth, the Bible says, cometh knowledge and understanding. Well, I'm sure you probably heard many of the critics, especially the critics that, they picked up the Bible and they studied the Bible from cover to cover, and they're trying to find some fault in the Bible. They read the whole Bible and they come out with nothing. They can't see anything because they're approaching the Bible with a different frame of mind. They're critics. The reason being, of course, is that only God can teach those things from his word. Sometimes God does intervene. Sometimes God does come and converts a critic. Reading the Bible alone, I'm saying, is not going to guarantee you spiritual knowledge, but God through his word, he certainly can. And he does. He certainly does. And that is why even before we begin reading the scriptures, you see, we need to humble ourselves and we need to ask the Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things. Lord, open up my understanding. Let me learn something from thy word. And thank God that through many of us, though many of us are unskilled in the human knowledge, that it may be said of us. It may be said of us, as the Lord said to the people of his day, the poor people, to you it is given to know. To you it is given. It's not something that they acquired. To you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. You were once blind, now you see. You were once in darkness, but now you're in the light. What I often look at in the scriptures, I read of some of these miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have Lazarus being raised from the dead. You have people who are born crippled being brought back to a way in which they're able to walk again. You have the blind that were able to see. Why is it the Pharisees couldn't believe when they saw such miracles? Could it be the Messiah? No. They're going to reject the Messiah. Well, it's hard to believe that they rejected the Messiah, even though they saw these tremendous miracles. And so we need to be thankful to the Lord who has given us his grace. Now, with that also, of course, comes a responsibility, because the Bible says, too much is given, much is required. We do have a responsibility, and that is that we are to be the light of the world, and we're to walk as the children of light. Terrible thing when there's scandals. Remember that God regards all men as blind, incapable of comprehending spiritual things, until he himself opens the eyes. And he uses both the written word, the preaching of the word, even sometimes he uses the conscience, but it's always through God's power that he teaches something to us from his word. We do our part. We search as a treasure. We search the scriptures. God will do his part if we're humbled and if we have a teachable spirit. As we conclude this evening, let us all have a good, let us all make use of the spiritual knowledge that God has given us. Yes, it's given to us. To err in ignorance is one thing, but to err when we have the truth, well, that's another thing altogether. The Bible says that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says he's going to take vengeance on all those that obey not the gospel. But also it says, also those that have trodden underfoot. They've trodden underfoot his blood and done despite unto his Spirit of grace. And if God has shined in your hearts to give you the light of the gospel, we have to walk as the children of light. And this is the only way, you see, that we're able to convince those around us that this knowledge that we possess is of real value. It's of real value. If you're not saved this evening, you too have to seek this knowledge of Christ, and you have to seek him, especially in the scriptures, because to know him, the Bible says, is to know everlasting life. The wisest man that ever lived said, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and for the soul to be without knowledge, it is not good. Seek the Lord, the Bible says, while he may be found, because there is a day coming. A day is coming while we're going to try to find him. We're going to try to find him. And if you're a lost sinner, you're going to try to find him, and you'll never be able to find him. Because the door of grace is going to shut one day. And the Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. I trust that you will, that the Lord will help you to search for him and find him. And I'm going to close with these words. And I want you to pay attention to what Solomon again says in Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2. Notice what he says here, tremendous advice, because it does go along with our message this evening. It says here in Proverbs chapter 2, and I'm going to close with these six verses here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searcheth for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. May God bless his word to our hearts this evening. Let us all close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank thee once again for the wisdom of thy word. We thank thee, our Father, that thy word is wisdom indeed. We do rejoice that we don't have to err. We don't have to err in this world, but we thank thee, our Father, if we search for him with all our hearts, we thank thee, our Father, that thou hast given us the promise that we will find thee. And our Father, we do pray for those this evening that know not Christ. We ask thee, our Father, that thou would commence this process upon their very hearts, that they would be able to search for the living God, and by searching, even find thee, because to find thee, our Father, is the knowledge that the soul needs. The soul that findeth that knowledge findeth eternal life indeed. Dismiss us in thy blessing, do us good, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.